Tonight is not a part two of the message this morning, but I want to just review what we talked about this morning before I add to it tonight. We preached this morning from Joshua chapter 1, and I mentioned that it was God's will for his people to go into the promised land, just like it's God's will for everybody here tonight to be saved and to go to heaven. And so he wants every single person to become part of his family through Jesus Christ and go to heaven. And also he has a will for all of us as Christians. I mean, there's something that he wants us to do, and tying it in with our theme, above and beyond, he wants us to go higher. He wants us to do more. He wants us to get closer to him. Now, his will for the Jewish people were interrupted for 40 years. They came to the promised land the first time and refused to go in. And as a result of, as punishment for that disobedience, God said, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for every day the spies were in the land, and everybody that's over 20 years old is going to die, except for Moses and Caleb, two of the spies that said, we can take the land. And so for 40 years, the plan of God for his people were interrupted. For 40 years, the plan for God's people was delayed. And now the 40 years were up, and they were about to go over Jordan. And my points this morning, I had 3 points this morning. The first one is that we need to go over as well. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. And you need to get saved, and we as Christians need to get closer to God, regardless of the circumstances that are going on in our life. And I mentioned to you this morning, things were pretty dire for the Israelites. Moses was dead. Joshua was old. The leadership had changed. They had no experience. And there are obstacles in each of our lives that if we let them, the devil will use them to keep us from going higher and further for God. I was talking to a couple this morning, and just some terrible things have happened in the life of their family. And they said, preacher, we just need to talk to you for a few minutes. And we just need your help. And I said, I can't help you. There's nothing from a human standpoint that I can say that I can tell you what to do. I told them, I said, I've tried to put myself in your place and try to figure out how I would react if the same thing happened to me. And I said, I can't figure it out. I don't know. The only thing I can tell you is you need to get close to God and stay close to God. And you need to lean on him, and you need to ask for his wisdom and his strength and stay closer to him. And I said, you know, God can bring good out of anything. And maybe he's let you come into these circumstances, and maybe he's let this happen so you'll get closer to him, so you'll depend on him more. And regardless of the circumstances that are going on in your life, please don't let the devil use them to rob you of the will of God for your life. He'll do it if we let him. Satan will use them. But please don't let him. Just go to God and say, I want to do more. I want to go higher. We sang that song. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that ought to be the desire of every single Christian here tonight. You say, well, I'm old. I've done served God. No, you've heard me say before, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're still here, walking on God's earth, breathing God's air, he's got a reason and a purpose for you to be here. Now just get on with it. Don't be satisfied. So many times we come to the point in our Christian life and we say, I have arrived. I mean, I'm where God wants me to be. And I don't mean to offend anybody tonight, but I'll tell you what. No, you're not. Paul said, I have not attained. I mean, I haven't gotten there yet, and none of us, you may be the very best Christian in this room, and there are some good Christians in this room, but none of us are where God wants us to be. There's more steps he wants us to take. He wants us to get closer to him. So, go over in spite of the circumstances. Go over on his promises. He made Joshua, and I don't have time to talk about him again tonight, but go back and read Joshua chapter 1. Look at all the promises that God made him about the land and about the enemy that would not be able to stand before him. And God has made us some wonderful promises, thousands of promises in this book that we need to claim. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ask Jesus tonight, he'll save you. There's hundreds of promises in this book for Christians. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And we just need to get higher and go further, above and beyond where we've been, based on the promises of God. And then I said, go over in his word. Joshua 1:8, but the book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And Joshua did. He stayed in the book. Only had five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But he stayed them, and God blessed him. The Bible says that the people served God all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived him. And what a wonderful testimony that is about this man that stayed in the Word of God. Joshua chapter 2, he sent a couple spies in to Jericho. They met Rahab. Rahab helped him. They came back, almost like Joshua and Caleb did 40 years earlier, and they told the people, hey, they're afraid of us. Who wouldn't be afraid of them? The Bible says they crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground right near Jericho. I mean, I can just picture it in my mind, the inhabitants of Jericho, I don't know if they had binoculars back there back then or not, but I can just see the people of Jericho looking over the wall of the city, and they say, look at that! I mean, the Jordan River is parted. I mean, there's heaps on either side, and they're walking across on dry ground. Man, don't you think if you saw a people's God do that, you'd be a little bit afraid, too, if they were headed towards your city? And the Bible said the people of Jericho, Rahab told the spies, we're scared of you. Our knees are knocking together because we know what your God is capable of doing. Now, here in Joshua chapter 3, they come to the Jordan River. They're about to cross over. They haven't been this way before. In fact, we read it in verse 4. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Haven't been here. Haven't done this. It's a new level of commitment. It's a new level of God's will for your life. It's a level that you've never seen before. And again, it paints the picture of all of us as Christians. Don't get satisfied with where you are in God's will right now, because he has more for you. He wants you to go further. He wants you to get higher. And I know many people say, well, if God would just show me where he wants me to get at the end of the road, it'd be a whole lot easier for me to get there. And I'll remind you tonight, that's not how God works. He doesn't show you the end of the road. It's like being in a mine. And I've told this illustration before, so pardon me for telling it again, but it makes the point. It's like being down in a mine, and you know you got one of those caps with a little light up here on the top. There's no other lights in the mine, just that little light you wear on the top of your hat. And it just shines a little beam of light a couple steps in front of you. And the miner can only see a couple steps in front of him. And he'll take those two steps, and then he'll see a couple more steps. That's the way God reveals his will to us. We don't see the end of the road. We don't know where he wants us to go. I mean, we're like Abraham when God called him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Hey, I want you to pick up, load up your family, and I want you to move. I want you to go somewhere. And Abraham said, where do you want me to go? And God said, just get started, and I'll let you know when you get there. And that's what God does to us. I can't see where he wants me to get, but I can see the next two steps. And I can take those next two steps, and he'll show me the next two steps. And I can take those next two steps, and that's what faith is. Believing that God has a plan for your life, he'll show you the next step, and if we, in obedience, take that step, he'll show us the next one. He'll show us the next one. And so, that's how we get higher. I mean, that's where we go above and beyond. The people had not passed this way before. They had not crossed the Jordan River before. They were near to God's plan for their life and his will for their life than they'd ever been before. And listen. We're in that same place. We're in that same place. God wants us, hey, I want you to take the next two steps. I want you to take the next two steps after that. Don't worry about where I'm taking you. I know where I'm taking you. Just trust me. Just trust me. Let's go above and beyond where we've been before. We ain't never been this way before. And as a church, we can say that too. We're in a spot where we've never been before. Man, we baptized, and by the way, I'm kidding, so I'm going to tell you right now, I'm kidding. But when we send our report in about baptisms, we baptized 40 today. It was the same three people getting baptized over and over. Now, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. But we, as a church, in all seriousness now, I'm not kidding now, in all seriousness, we're at a spot where we've never been before. I think God's about to open the windows of heaven and bless us in ways that we've never seen before. And it's like God told Joshua, he says, I'm going to bless you just like I blessed Moses. And I'm going to show you wonders just like I showed Moses. And he'll show us those wonders if we'll take those next two steps of faith and say, God, I can't see the end of the road, but I can see the next two steps. And I'll take those steps and I'll ask you to bless. So I want to add 3 points to the 3 points I had this morning. I want to talk to you about how Joshua told the people to go over. Number one, take the next few steps. Cross over the Jordan River with sanctification. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The word sanctify means to set apart, to be separate. It means to be holy. Bible says that God tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. We have a holy God. We have a God that is set apart from all other gods. We have a God that is unique. I don't care how you want to say it. You can use as many words as I can do, that I can, maybe more. But I want you to realize tonight that we have a God like no other gods. He is a God that doeth wonders. And the psalmist talks about it. He talked about the gods that people had. He said, hey, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have hands, but they can't handle. They have feet, but somebody has to carry them around. They have ears, but they can't hear. And then the psalmist says, my God isn't like that. My God is a God that doeth wonders. My God is a God that can see and can hear and can work among mankind. That's the kind of God we have. A God like nobody else has. A God that doeth wonders. He made the heaven. He made all the things in the earth. He made you and he made me and he knows us and he loves us anyway. Loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary for us. Loves us so much that he has a plan for each of our lives, from the very littlest one to the very oldest one here tonight. You just stop and think about it. The God that made the universe, the God that made everything that in it, loves you enough to have an individual plan for your life. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, it just shakes me to my very core to think that the God that made everything has a plan for my life. And the God that made you has a plan for your life. What a God. What a God. And he says, just like I'm holy, I want you to be holy. I want you to be set apart. I want you to be separate. I want you to be unique. I don't want you to think like the world. I want you to have the mind of Christ. I don't want you to look like the world. I don't want you to act like the world. I don't want you to have the world priorities. I want you to set your affections on things above. I want you to lay up your treasures in heaven. I want you to love me. I want you to love others. He says, all the commandments hang on those two, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And he says, I want you to cross over to a place in my plan for your life that you've never been before. A place in his will that you've not seen before. And he says, I want you to do it sanctified. I want you to do it with holiness. I mentioned Wednesday night. Tuesday, this past Tuesday, Brother Leonard called me and said, hey, preacher, you want to go to a revival with us tonight? I said, well, sure. And we went, and the preacher preached about the times and the seasons. And he said something. He said, if we realized what was going to happen when God came back, in And the Bible talks about it. The heavens and the earth are going to melt away. If we could get that in our mind, and we could understand that we do not know the day or the hour or the moment he is returning. He could come back at any time. I tell you what, I want God to catch me being holy. Don't you? I don't want to be in the middle of, I don't want to be in one of my fits where I get mad at people. You say, preacher, you get mad at people. Yes, I do. I don't want to be in one of my fits where I'm mad at somebody. I don't want to be in one of my, I don't want to be in one of those days where I have a bad attitude. I certainly don't want to be someplace doing something that I would be, ashamed of if Jesus came back and caught me. I want to live my life holy. I want to be different. I want to be peculiar. And God says, that's what you got to be to come up higher. That's what you need to be to go above and beyond. That's what you need to do to cross over into this place that you've never been before. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. Be different. Don't identify with the world. Identify with me. Be as clean and as pure and as separate as you can. So cross over with sanctification. Number two, cross over following God. Verse 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest and Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. When you see the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant, that little chest that contained the Ten Commandments, that contained at one time Aaron's rod that budded, that contained at one time that pot of manna to show the generations what God fed them with in the wilderness. That little chest that had the mercy seat on top of it and the two angels at either end that was placed in the Holy of Holies that the priest would come into once a year on the Day of Atonement and offer blood, the blood of an animal sacrifice to atone or to pay for the people's sins for another year. God says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, when you see that piece of furniture where my presence dwells, I want you to follow it. If we're going to go higher, if we're going to cross over, if we're going to go above and beyond where we've been, the only way we're going to do it is by following God. You're not going to do it by following mom and dad. You're not going to do it by following grandpa and grandma. You're not going to do it following your preacher or your Sunday school teacher. You're going to do it by following God. Don't get ahead of them. Abraham got ahead of them. Moses got ahead of them. We need to be just like the Israelites as they were going through the wilderness. Bible says, when the cloud by day and the fire by night moved, they moved. And when the cloud by day and the fire by night stayed still, they stayed still. We need to follow God. You say, preacher, how can I know God? How can I follow Him? Doesn't work the way for everybody. You'll know. Most of the direction comes from this book, right here. That's where it comes from. It comes from the examples of other people that God puts in our life. It comes from hearing sermons and hearing Sunday school lessons. You'll know. God opens doors. He closes doors. He makes His will known. And we just have to be ready to follow Him. And then number three, cross over in divine intervention. Boy, I couldn't wait till I got to this point. This is my favorite one of the whole day. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Some people might think, well, Jordan was just a little creek. Just a little creek. No. The Bible says it overflowed its banks at the time of harvest. It is a mighty, muddy river. I mean, if they waded through the water, there was no way that the Bible could say that they passed clean over Jordan. Now, I know that's a southern expression. They passed clean over. It wasn't that they were clean or dirty, but they passed clean over. But I'm putting a different interpretation on it tonight. No way they could be clean if they had to wade through the water, because the Jordan River was a muddy, muddy river, dirty river. That's why that leper in Kings, Naaman, the leper, he said, when Elijah told him to go dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River, he said, the rivers back home are cleaner than that old muddy Jordan River. I'll just go back home and dip in the rivers at home. And you know the story. He went and dipped in Jordan and got clean. But just think about it. God took that river, just like he had done the Red Sea for Moses, and he divided it. The priest that held the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on firm ground, dry ground, in the middle of that river. And everybody was able to walk on dry ground as they went into the land of promise. In a wonderful way, in a mighty way, in a wondrous way, God did what only God could do. Did you hear me? God did what only God could do. Nobody else could dry up that river. Nobody else could heap the waters on one end and stop them from the other and dry the ground immediately when those priests stuck their feet down in the brim of that river. Nobody, no man could do that. Only God could do it. You listen to me. Only God could do it. Now here's my point. The next step that God wants you to take, the next step in his will for your life, you may look at it and you may say, there ain't no way that I can do that. I'm incapable of doing it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. There's just no way I can take the next step. I understand what God wants me to do, but I just can't do it. And I would remind you tonight, you don't have to do it. You just need to let God be God. And let God do what only he can do, and then you just follow him where he leads. Just follow him where he leads. You say, preacher, you think God still works miracles today? Yes, I do. I've seen too many of them worked in this place to not believe that he can't still work miracles. We still have a God that doest wonders. We still have a God that can change people's heart. We still have a God that can heal human bodies. We still have a God that can take the circumstances that we can't see any way out, that we don't know how to handle, that we can't give advice to people about how to handle. We still have a God that can work a wonder in the middle of those circumstances and make it all come out for good. And we just need to let God do what he could do. You remember 40 years before, the people said, hey, the walls are big and the armies are mighty and there's giants that live there. And we just look like a bunch of grasshoppers in their sight. Not this time. They went in knowing that God would give them the victory. You got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. Doing God's will is not doing it with our wisdom or our strength. Doing God's will is saying to God, here I am. Use me. Use me. I don't think I can take the next step. But God, I can if you'll help me. I don't think I can get out of my mind what needs to be out of my mind. But God, you can do it. I don't think I can make my way through the circumstances that are in my life to get to where you want me to be. But God can. God can. So it's time to press on. It's time to move higher. It's time to go above and beyond. Please don't be satisfied with where you are. There are probably a lot of people that wanted to live in the wilderness. Let's just stay here. We don't need to cross the river. We don't need to go over there and fight with all those people. We don't need to raise a ruckus. Yes, they did. That was God's will for their life. That was the land he'd prepared for them. That's where he wanted them to be. And he's got a place that he wants you to be. So let's move on. Let's press on. Let's step up higher. Let's follow him and let him use us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you teach us and how you encourage us from this book. And I pray tonight that you'll speak to every heart and every individual, that we will vow and we will determine as individuals to take the next step, to step up higher, to go above and beyond, not in our strength, not with our wisdom, but as we follow you in your strength and your wisdom. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight they'd see themselves as a sinner, see the penalty for that sin, and see how Jesus went to a cross and paid it all. Paid it all. Every debt, everything that we owed because of our sin, he paid it all. And I pray, Father, tonight would be the night they would come and receive him. Bless this time of invitation. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks to us and do what he says. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.